And welcome back to Module 2 of Construct 2 Advanced Game Development. I'm Shahad.
And I am James. And now I'm here to talk about Windows 8.x features. So again, we're talking Windows 8 and or Windows 8.1. So what am I going to focus on? Basically, it's going to be very demo focused, and it's going to be Golden Ball, which is a demo that we used in the previous module. We mentioned it in the previous module, but also covered it in the previous Jumpstart Part 1. So we're basically just going to take that game and add on to it and add a bunch of new things. So the things we're going to talk about, again, Golden Ball, again, we've seen it. Now we're just going to make it better. All hopefully right. You guys out there aren't too bored of it yet. But with the Windows 8 object, we get a lot of functionality around Windows specific stuff. And just to kind of put this out there from the beginning, the Windows 8 object does cover Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, not Windows Phone. So we'll see kind of throughout this module how Windows Phone separates in terms of the functionality from Windows 8 and 8.1. Some of the stuff you can do with Phone, some of the stuff you can't, and I'll just kind of call those out as we go along.
Right. It's important to note that the folks at Xera they've put in a lot of effort into this Windows object, where the features that it does support just seamlessly works for you, works really well.
Yeah, really, 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 really quick and easy. And some of the things that you can take advantage of are settings pages. So we'll talk about what kind of settings pages those are. Basically, your about page, your privacy policy, and your support page. Opening the Windows Store. So this is, for example, opening to review the app in the store or opening to a publisher page in the store. Setting your live tile text. Live tiles are one of the differentiating factors that Windows has, whether it's Phone or 8.1, whatever it is. Those are one of the key things where you can get information at a glance without having to open the app. It's one of those key factors about Windows.
Which is great for things like high scores and such.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that we'll take a look at, a little right. Foreshadowing again. And then we'll look at the share charm. So the share charm is something that, again, is built into Windows 8, 8.x, and we can take advantage of that. So we can share, we have the option to share a bunch of different things, but two of the ones I've got mentioned here are a link and then text in general. So we'll take a look at an example of that. And one of the things that I'm most excited about and spent probably the most time over the past several weeks, maybe a couple of months, is global leaderboards with Azure Mobile Services. So in MVA Part 1, we did basically local high scores. They were persistent, but they were still local. So I could play my game, save my high score. If I went to someone else's machine, my score wouldn't be there, right? So in this, we're going to do a global leaderboard in Azure where we're going to pull down the top 10 scores from wherever they come from. So you can submit them and then we'll pull them down.
Right.
And there's going to be two different ways to do that. One is the Azure for Windows 8 object. So there's actually a plugin that someone created that you can just drop into Construct 2 and leverage it. And then also you could use basically the Azure Mobile Service REST API. So you could kind of do a lot of manual stuff. There's going to be ups and downs, pros and cons for both of those. And I'll kind of spell that out and I'll let you know which one I favor once we get to it. So just two different options there to basically do the same thing.
And having your leaderboards up in the cloud is a great way to complement the networking stuff I'll be showing later on today.
Exactly. So again, what's the game? We've already mentioned it several times, but just as a recap, here's a screenshot. It's a platformer game with turrets. You collect as many falling golden balls in 30 seconds as possible. Some of the objects that we used, and this is a slide just copied from Part 1, but there's a player, a platform, backgrounds, turret, bullet, text, touch, a lot of different things. Excuse me. So that's the game, but now we're going to add on to it, right? Next level, that's what we're doing. So the Windows 8 object we talked about, this is what we're going to have several different features and functionalities that we can add to our game. The first one are the settings pages. So the three we have here are your about page, your support page, and your privacy policy. About is pretty self-explanatory. Most apps nowadays have some sort of app page. They come with a description of the game itself, maybe a how to play, maybe a description of the developer, something about that app or developer, something for the user to look at. You could have some contact information on there as well. A support page, speaking of contact information, is really the page that you want them to go to when they have issues. So if they find a bug or if they want to even recommend a new feature that you could put into your game, you can have a support page that is easily accessible for them to go ahead and send you an email, basically, something like that. And then finally, the privacy policy. Privacy policy mainly just says, in whatever way you want to, whatever way fits, I'm not stealing your personal information and using it for bad reasons, right? My privacy policy is gonna be very, very simple. I'm not stealing your information and I'm not using any of this stuff within the game for any bad reasons. Depending on your project, depending on your company, you might have to get more specific, but that's as simple as it gets and pretty clear, right? I'm not doing anything bad here, just putting a game out there.
Right, and these are things that are very common in Windows 8 applications and games.
Yep.
And this Windows 8 object makes it easier to do these things.
Exactly. And additionally, in some cases, the privacy policy is required. Depending on what audience you want to publish for, a privacy policy is required. So you may not even pass without doing this.
Yep.
So just something to keep in mind. So how do we do this? First, we need to add the Windows 8 object. So again, we're going to add the Windows 8 object once, just like we do the touch object or the keyboard or any other inanimate object. It's just for functionality. We'll add it once and then we'll use it through all of these different pieces. So once we add it, you should be able to see the screenshot here that has the properties. So that's the properties window that's going to pop up. Test mode is the first property. We'll talk about that later. That'll be really important with in-app purchases. But for now, it's just a simple drop-down menu. Simple yes or no. Do I want about setting? Do I want support? Do I want privacy?
Right.
Select yes for all those, and they add, if you can see in the screenshot below, that's my files inside of Visual Studio. There's an about HTML, privacy support HTML. So then we go in and just customize those individual files.
So just to clarify, the top screenshot is from Construct 2,
yep,
where the Windows 8 object has been added, and the lower screenshot is from Visual Studio, where you see a list of your files.
Exactly, and that's another thing to just kind of mention right now. A lot of what I'm going to be doing will involve going from Construct 2, exporting and opening up and making changes and final changes in Visual Studio.
Right.
So I'll try to make that pretty clear when we go back and forth between each one. So I think let's go ahead and take a look at what... how easy that is, really, because it is very simple. But I've got, let's see which one of these is right. All right, so this is the Golden Ball game, and let's see what I want to start with. So I just need to add our Windows 8 objects. Let me open up the start layout. And this, again, this project right here, as is, will be available for anyone to download so they can follow through and do the tutorial, follow blog posts, anything they need to. But on the main screen here, I'll just double click and scroll down to Windows 8, insert. And once I do that, if I zoom in a little bit, scroll over slowly. Again, here's the properties that we just took a look at. Test mode, we'll talk about that later. We can forget about it for now. The about setting, the support setting, and the privacy setting. So selecting yes for each of those, that's all we need to do. Right, pretty straightforward. And then when we export, we'll see the files and make the final changes. That's it, right? So let's pop back over to the slides. And the next section is going to be, so that was our demo. And now we are at opening the Windows Store. So there's several different options here. The three that we have, our publisher page, the review app, and then an app listing page. And these are kind of simple in functionality, but really important for a couple of different reasons. Your publisher page functions as a great way to cross-promote your app. So if you add a button in your game that takes them to your publisher page, they can see all of your other apps.
So let's say if you had maybe 5 to 10 other games you've published before, yep, you can actually take a look at what you've published and have others quickly get to it as well.
Exactly, and if they like your app and they see others, they'll try those out too. And one of the big examples I have, and that we talked about in the last module as well, was CNG Studios, who is a local game studio in Florida who did 50 Windows 8 and 50 Windows Phone games, right? And as they started to publish more and more games, obviously their downloads went up just overall, but the rate at which the downloads went up increased as well because they cross-promoted in each of their apps. Each of their apps had a link to all their other apps. They liked the first one, they would go and find more. Right, so that once you start adding 5 and 10 and adding more apps, you really build on yourself. The second part is a review app button. So reviews as a developer are one of the things that you care about most. It helps when people look to potentially download your app, if they see bad reviews, they'll probably shy away, right? So good reviews are really, really important for developers. And one of the things that I think people have learned is that users are more willing to go out of their way to leave negative feedback versus positive feedback. So that's gonna, we'll talk about that with the support page, tie it all in together later on. But reviewing the app, you wanna make it easily accessible so that there's just a simple button there that says rate the app, right? And then you may or may not click on it, but you're more likely to click on it positively if it's there than if it's not.
Yeah, so if you want good reviews, make sure it's easier for the user to get to the review page, as well as making the game fun for them to play as well.
Exactly, and that's a lot of times you see apps that have what they call nag screens. So every five times you open it, it prompts up a screen that says, do you want to rate us? You say yes or no, and then you do whatever. The last part is the app listing page. And the reason you might want to go to the app listing page is in the store, you have the ability to share an app, especially on Windows Phone. So this is a little different. We're mainly talking about Windows 8 here, but just the ability to share your app with someone else through that app listing page is useful. Two things to note here, or I guess one main thing to note here, is these will not work without an app being published. The review app and the app listing page, because if the app is not published, there's no page to go to. So we will do basically a publisher page example, but it's straightforward and it's just a drop-down menu that you would switch to do the other two.
Yep.
So also setting your live tile text. Again, live tiles are one of the differentiating factors for Windows as a platform as a whole. So you want to take advantage of that to make it really feel more Windows-like. You can update your live tiles with some kind of text. We mentioned new high score, so if you set a new high score, we'll say new high score accomplished, and whatever the score is. Maybe some encouraging messages, say keep playing and you'll reach a certain level. Maybe rankings. Halo is a very rank-oriented game, so you want to get up and up in the rank. So you can just kind of reward them by putting their ranking on their live tile. And we'll do all of these together in a second in a demo. And lastly is the share charm. So there's a lot of different options I think I mentioned already. Share HTML, share sprite, data. What we're going to do is we're going to share text. And we can do this, for instance, when we finish our game in the end screen, we can give the user the option to share his score. Say, I just played Golden Ball, I scored this much, and then maybe a link to my website or something to promote myself and my brand.
Right.
And then one of the cool things about the share charm is if the user has Facebook and or Twitter and or other social media installed and logged in on their machine, those share options include those social media options. So we don't have to add any specific functionality to be able to share to Facebook and Twitter, which is really cool.
Which is important to note that this is free functionality that you get just by publishing on Windows. The fact that you have the additional apps installed, those apps can then take over the rest of the functionality for you.
Yep. So all, as far as Windows goes, all out of the box features, right?
Yep.
So let's go ahead. Let me double check. I think I'm ready for demo time. All right, so let's go back to the same example we were just in. And the first one we want to look at was opening the Windows Store. So we can open the Windows Store here by, if I just add a button, or I use text objects as buttons, but we'll just say open Windows Store button, insert, I'll put it down here. I'll change the text to say, I'll say publisher page, because that's the example we're going to use. So publisher page, we'll make it bigger so we can see. And make this bigger as well. I just kind of put that right underneath Twitter. So now, this is on our home, our start layout, on our start event sheet. Now we just want to go in and say when we touch that object, to do whatever we want to do, which is open the publisher page. So pretty simple, we'll do our touch and we'll say on touch object. Again, this is functionality we've looked at before. And we'll select our, let's see, what did I call it? Open, there it is.
That's
open
a great
Windows
thing about
Store.
The UIs, you can just type it in if you.
Right, and I usually always type because it's much easier that way. But open Windows Store button, make this a little bigger. And when we do that, we'll add an action. We'll select Windows 8 object. And we'll say open Windows Store. And here's our drop-down menu where we want to choose publisher page.
Yep.
And if we had a published app, we would use, or we could use app listing and review app. So do keep in mind, it says go to publisher page. In our project settings, there's a publisher or author here. So here I've got Quick Apps. Actually, I want this to be James Quick. Quick Apps is my personal one. But this will open up my James Quick page, publisher page. So the next one that we want to do is set the live tile text. So let's set the live tile text every time we get a new high score. And we know we get a new high score in our game event sheet. And I've actually gone through these and reorganized them with groups. So the losing events is when we lose and we're ending the game. And here we're comparing, and this is something you should have seen in part one, but we're comparing the current score to see if it's greater than the saved high score in web storage. So once that happens, if it's true, let me drag this over. I want to go in and say Windows 8 again, Windows 8, and set live tile text. And I've played around with a couple of these. I think this one works best, but I'll just say text 1 equals new high score, and then tack on the score variable. And then the text 2 I'll leave blank because I'm only using one text in this particular format. So I'll say done there. And then our last one is the share charm. So let's say on our end layout, I've already actually added a share button here. So let me go to the end event sheet and do the same thing. So touch on touched object, and we'll choose the share button. So once we click that share button, then we want to do a Windows 8. And let me clarify one thing before we do this. To activate the share charm, to take advantage of the share charm, you have to basically activate it first. So once you click on a button, call out the share charm, and then you have to add an event handler saying on share, then this is what you want to share. So the first step here I'm going to do is to show the share UI. I didn't make that clear earlier. And then similar to what we've been talking about with callback events, we will do a Windows 8 and then on share. So this is when the share menu actually comes out. Now we want to give it what share options we want to have. So Windows 8, share, and then here's all our different options. We'll just do text. And we'll say title, it's Golden Ball, my favorite new game, Golden Ball. And the text will be, I just scored. And then we'll tack on the score. And then we'll tack on a little more in Golden Ball. And I'll put my Twitter handle there as well. So it's going to say, I just scored 5 in Golden Ball at James Q Quick.
All right.
So done. So now what we're going to do is we're going to actually export and see what this looks like as a Windows app. And we could do this as, see if I mentioned this in my slides. So we could do this as a Windows 8 app or a Windows 8.1 app. They work the same. The functionality does not cover Windows Phone. So we're kind of setting Windows Phone aside for now and focusing on Windows 8. So let's go to File, Export Project, and we want to do Windows Store. And I'll call this the Win8 object. If I can type, do an export, and I won't minify the script. So export, I'll do a universal app since that's what we talk about most these days.
Yep.
Give it a second to export.
In fact, we had a whole part of the module last time where we covered exporting and publishing.
Yep. So, yeah, that's it. You should be pretty familiar with the exporting and the publishing process. And then I've also updated my blog to show the individual pieces of exporting as well. Yep. And you forgot the whole series on exporting, PowerPoints. Everything should be covered. We tried to make sure we've got all of our bases covered.
Yep.
So in my solution, the first thing we need to do, and Shahed, you talked about this last time, is open this package manifest and get rid of these packaging errors. So I'm just going to create a test certificate So I pick one I've already created. Okay, okay. Notice that my publisher display name is still James Quick. So that's the publisher page that will open. Now I'll close this and save it. And if we look at the Solution Explorer, notice I have the About HTML, the Privacy HTML, and Support. So if I open About and scroll down, here's my About page. So I can just change this text to say this is Golden Ball. Obviously, with a published app, you want to be a little more descriptive.
Right.
There's also the privacy. If I scroll down, say, I will not steal your info, something simple. And then also with the support, they have a button in here for mail to, and I'll just change this to my Microsoft email. .com, and then change the example displayed text as well.
And this is just straight HTML. For anyone who has web experience or HTML experience, this is straightforward HTML in each of these pages.
Exactly. Yeah, this is, I should have been a little more specific about that, but that is what we're doing, just editing basic HTML, and it's just those three simple tags. So let's see, save this one, close it, save, close. I'm going to run this. And I need to do one thing. So this is the test mode. We'll talk about this later. I'll just close that. But let me close the app and stop it. Now under my apps installed, let me change to data installed. I want to right click and pin Golden Ball to start. So notice I didn't give it a background image, and notice that the tile is blank, right? So this is for the live tile text that I need to have it there so it gets updated.
Yep.
So now let's go back to Visual Studio. Let's run it one more time, close that, and now if I swipe over and get my share charm, if I can, my touch, I don't have touch on here.
So there is a shortcut to Windows S.
Windows C.
Oh. Was for search or
Windows C for charm. Okay, there it is. All right, so under settings, I click on that. Here's my about support and privacy policy. So about, very simple again, support, very simple. Privacy policy, same thing as well. So just make sure you update those, because if you try to publish with that dummy text, I think it'll get rejected.
Yep.
So there's that piece. If I click on the publisher page, now it opens up the James Quick publisher page. These are some old games that I worked on when I was just getting started. So there that is. And if I play, I just need to get one to set a high score. Score is one. Now, if I go to the start menu and scroll over, I should see new high score one.
All right.
So every time I get a new high score, it'll be updated there. And lastly, the share. So that pulls out the share charm. And I should have thought to install Facebook and Twitter and log in beforehand. But with those installed, they will pop up here and you'll be able to share with social media. So that way, if you have hundreds or thousands of followers and friends, that's that many more people that are aware of your game.
Right.
Right. So really simple stuff with the Windows 8 object to take advantage of some Windows features that add to your game. They add a level of kind of personality, of personalness to the Windows platform, right?
And there's multiple ways to get to the charm screen that we just looked at. So one was to hit the Windows key and C for charms.
Yep.
But if you have a touchscreen device, you can also swipe in from the right as well.
And that's what I'm spoiled. So I was looking for my touch, and right now the touch isn't working. So I had to thank you for helping me out with that shortcut. So let's pop back over to our presentation. Let's see. So the next part is going to be global leaderboards. And again, this is one that I'm pretty excited to share because it's one I spent a lot of time on.
Right.
And it's with Azure Mobile Services. And what we're going to see is that there's two different ways to do this. The first is an Azure for Windows 8 plugin. And let me just pull up Internet Explorer real quick.
Yep. This is actually new to me as well. I've done a lot of Azure work, but I haven't done leaderboards yet with games. So this is great, new information for me.
Awesome, cool. So maybe you should be taking notes while I'm doing this.
Right, right.
So the Azure Mobile Services plugin, here's the website. If I zoom in a little bit, there's the URL, azure4c2.codeplex.com. You download the plugin here, and then you basically just drag it onto a layout in Construct 2, and then it's there. Then you can use it. So that's how you add it. And that's the first example. The second one is just using the REST APIs with the AJAX object inside of Construct 2. So it allows you to do gets and posts, and then you just use the REST API of Windows Azure.
And you have an acronym there, CRUD. Do you want to give a quick explanation of what that is?
Yeah, I'm going to run through these. So functionality-wise, these two methods that we're looking at are going to be the same. And I say data operations with CRUD. And I thought I spelled this out, but CRUD stands for create, read, update, and delete.
Right.
So that's basically inserting, querying is how they call it, deleting, and
updating.
Right. And we'll see how they phrase it. It's a little bit different in Construct 2. And then identity, we won't look at identity today, meaning user authentication with an Outlook account or a Facebook account or something like that, but both of them have the ability to do that as well. So the pros and cons are where it really gets interesting. The pros for the plugin is that inside of Construct 2, you have drop-down menus for configurations. So if you want to say, I want to get 10 different results, well, you type the number 10 instead of a drop-down. But you can configure the actual calls to Azure pretty easily with a GUI, a graphical user interface, right?
Right.
Pretty straightforward. The cons there, and I found out this is something I struggled with for a while, was you have to make changes in Visual Studio, and you'll kind of learn, I'll do an example, but it is kind of tricky. You have to do a couple of different things. And it only works for Windows. It is a Windows 8 plugin with Azure. So on the other side, the REST API with AJAX object, the pros is that it works on any platform. So again, with the plugin, you can't test it until you export to Windows and run it. With this AJAX object, you can actually test just in your browser, and it's really quick to test instead of having to export, run, all that stuff. It's a lot easier.
Well, with the pros and cons for both of these approaches, it's great to see that at least we have more than one option.
Right.
So whatever floats your boat, whatever works. Just try it out.
Yeah, and the fact that it works on any platform is really big, because that way, I mean, cross-platform is a big deal, right? You want to be able to reach the most amount of users that you have. So you can use this method to hit all those different platforms. The con is that you have to do a lot of manual stuff. You have to get kind of creative in Construct 2 to do some stuff that's not built in easily, but you can get to a certain point by being creative, if that makes any sense. So basically what it is tricky requests, strings, and parsing. So I've gone through a lot of that to hopefully abstract that from you guys once you download the demos and tutorials. So that should help with that.
All right.
So this is kind of what we just went through. The plugin, you can see here the events and the actions that they have. They have the events that are triggered, the callback functions. We've been talking about that a lot today.
Yep.
And then the actions, they have the delete, query, insert, and update that we talked about as well. So for Windows 8, there's only one change, or two changes, I guess. You need to update your packaging, just like we do with all of them. And then you need to add a reference to the Windows Azure Mobile Service JavaScript client. That's not bad. That's pretty simple. It's mainly just one step, just adding that reference. Now, Windows Universal, you have to do a couple of different things. And Windows Universal does cover Windows Phone as well. So this is one of those cases where we're covering the phone side. But you have to update your packaging. You have to add a NuGet package. Then you have to add a reference to that JS file in your index.win.html. Then you have to change some code in the C2 runtime file, which is kind of tricky because I've had a lot of errors there. And then actually, there's just two changes you need to make.
Right. So in addition to HTML, there's also some little JavaScript editing here as well.
So there's a decent amount of things that you have to actually change to get this to work. And as I've tested this a couple of different times, there's several things that can go wrong that you can mess up on. And obviously, I figured it out, so it's not a huge deal. But you do have to do a lot of work in Visual Studio. So just so we're aware of what the two different options are, what the pros and cons are, and how they, just something to think about of how it might fit your game or your app. So let's take a look at the demo, and if I can get all the way over. Here's my Azure Mobile Service demo. So the first layout here is the Azure for Windows 8 plugin leaderboard. That's what this page is. You see I've got a title of high scores, it has a column for name and score, and then this button It's kind of hard to see, especially when you zoom in, but it says load scores. And then you can also submit a score. So it's got a text box there for name and score. So that would be simulated by when a user ends a game, they can have a button to submit their score, stuff like that.
Right. So you can use anything to trigger the high score, really.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then this little green text down here, this is something I use a lot. It's called, I call it a feedback text. So it's kind of like debugging, but visually in the app. So it just gives me messages when things happen, when they don't, whatever. So again, to add the Azure for Windows 8 object, it's just a double click on your layout, just like any other object. I've already got it in here. And I've got my app URL and my app key from my Azure mobile service. So if you haven't taken a look at Azure mobile services, I would highly recommend it. And let me see if I've probably timed out by this point. But this is my Azure mobile service. This is the high scores table within my mobile service. And it's got all of these scores with a bunch of random names that I just put in when testing that are some kind of weird and funny names, just whatever I came up with.
Well, for those who are new to Azure, what's the best way to sign up for Azure today?
Yeah, so you can go, the website is windowsazure.com. And here you can do a free trial. You can sign up through BizSpark. So BizSpark is our program for startups, entrepreneurs, and that will give you some credits in Azure to use every month, which is a really awesome deal. You get development tools and then you get Azure. So those are two big ways to do it, right?
And there's no limitation with this free trial, right? We can do everything that you're showing us today.
Right, yeah, definitely. Yep, right. Everything. Yeah, you guys feel free to try out the free trial and take advantage of everything that we're doing today.
All right.
So with every mobile service, you get an app URL and an app key, and that's what I have. Just pasted them in here. If I run this right now, it's not going to do anything. It says querying table. It won't come back with an error, or it might. I'm not sure. Because it's not a Windows 8 app. Remember, this has to be exported to Windows 8 to be able to run. And actually, I'm just going to go ahead. Well, let me take a look at the helper page I have here. So I'm not going to go through all this code. All of it will be available for download. You can parse through it. But what I've created basically is a function here for query table, a function for submit record, an event for on completed query, an event for on record inserted, and then a couple of error checking. So basically, this is what I meant by a drop-down configuration for your call to the Azure mobile service. I say I want to get the high scores table. I want to get a count. I have a global variable for how many items I want to retrieve. It's set to 10. I can do an order by. I can do descending or ascending, depending on what I order by. And this order by is a variable that I've created, if we can see it up here, that I want to order by high score. So I want to order by descending score, so the top score comes out on top. And then where the column ID is greater than 0, that basically means I want to get all of them.
So anything that's not in quotes is a variable that you've defined up top.
Exactly, yep. And I should, just to kind of add to that, these global variables are defined up here.
All right.
So the submit record is very similar. It's got a GUI there for you to use. You give it a table name, and then you give it a JSON string of the object you want to submit. So you have to do a little work to get whatever object you want to submit, whatever score, into a JSON string, and then submit it. And then we've got, when the query is completed, you can load the JSON response into an array with one call. So it's the, let's see, array. So I've got a response array here, and then load JSON into the array. So with the JSON response I get back, it will put in all the columns I need with user and score.
Yep.
And then I've disabled the load scores button while I'm loading until it finishes, right?
Right.
And then the display query results will display the stuff out of the array.
And just to point out there, we have a couple of functions there. So since we didn't cover functions in the previous MVA, the best way to add a function is to literally add a function object,
yep,
similar to how you would add keyboard or mouse or touch or any of those objects that are intangible and appear for any of your layouts.
Exactly. And then the action to call a function is function and then call function right here.
Yep.
The event is function and then on function. Yes. So what, and then you call it whatever you want to call it.
Right. So on function is the definition of the function, mm-hmm. and call function is to call the function.
Exactly. So I, in my event sheet, and that's just a helper sheet. So we can, I don't know if we talked about this before, but in event sheets, we can include other event sheets. So my idea was to abstract as much of the work as possible into this helper sheet that any user could then reference, right? So I've got it referenced here. It just says include that event sheet. And the display query results is kind of tedious. It's a little tricky. I'm not going to go through all of it. It's basically going through each element of the array. So here it is, each element x, y, because it's got rows and columns. And if its value is not zero, then I want to go in and create a table text object, which is just a text object, right, to fit in the table. And then all this long code is just the x and y coordinate to make it fit the table. Right. So those are, again, I won't go through all of these. It's kind of tedious, but you can look at it in your own time. You can go through it. You can change it if you need to. But right now for this demo, this is what it does. Right, so that's basically it for that. Let me export this to, and I'm going to export to a universal app. We could do the Windows 8 also, but I don't think we need to because it's just that one reference that we need to add. So let's do AMS universal. Let's export it to a universal app. Open the destination folder and open the solution. And let me pop back over to the slides because, again, there's a couple things we need to do, right? So here's the list. Need to update the packaging, add the NuGet package, and then change the C2 runtime file. So, and again, this is kind of some tedious stuff that you have to do inside of Visual Studio. So pros and cons. But the first thing we can do, go ahead and open our package manifest file. We've done this several times. Just do the certificate. Choose one that already exists. Okay. And we'll close and save that. Now the next part we want to do is add a NuGet package. If you've done any Windows development, you're probably familiar with NuGet, but it's a way to go out and get packages and extensions and plugins to add to your projects.
Yep.
So I can right click on my project and go to, let's see, manage NuGet packages. And if I search Azure Mobile Services, I want the WinJS version, right? Because all the stuff that you get from Construct 2 is going to be JavaScript. So we'll go ahead and install that. I accept. Takes a second. It's in there. So we can see this in the JS folder. Now there's mobile. There's a couple different mobile services files.
Right. So NuGet essentially automates the retrieval of these JavaScript files.
Exactly. Yep. So in our index.win.html, I just need to add a reference to those that file that I just added with Azure Mobile Services. So if I scroll down a little bit, I'm just going to add it under the WinJS references. So I'm going to add script and say the source is going to be the JS folder and then choose the mobile services and then just close that out.
All right.
So not too big of a deal there, just adding a simple reference. So I'll save that file. Now comes the trickiest part. Is editing the C2 runtime, which is shared between Windows Phone and Windows 8. So again, with Azure Mobile Services and this demo, you can have this support Windows Phone as well. And something we'll talk about later on, sadly you can't. But the C2 runtime, there's a lot of stuff in here, and there's no way I could go through all of it. But basically what I want to do is I want to search for references to this is Windows 8. Let's see. This dot is Windows 8. No? Let me pop back over to my cheat sheet. Let me copy that in. Okay. Was I mistyping something?
Oh, it might be case sensitive.
Okay. I don't know what I was doing. And basically we want to change every reference to this dot is Windows 8 just to be true. And that's kind of tedious because as we'll see, there's a lot. So let's kind of go through these ones. So we'll skip this. Dun, dun, dun. And now the next one, or wait. No, we've got a couple more to go through. Let's go through those. And actually, I'll just search for a space. Or maybe not a space. See, this is the tedious part that I'm not that fond of.
The good part is when you do this once, you won't have to redo this again.
Yes. So, all right, so here's, now here is our first reference to this Windows 8. I'm gonna drop down here and just replace this with true. So replace, replace that one, replace that. Again, pretty tedious, not very fun. This one I'll skip. That one, and I'm skipping the ones that are being assigned to something. So I'm just changing the ones that are conditions. So change that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. So you can definitely see this as one of the cons to using this route. All right, so hopefully that did it. Now the last thing we need to do is search for the onCreate method for the Azure Mobile Service. So I'm gonna just go in and delete all of this. And this will be, again, available. It seems kind of tricky right now. It'll be available for a step-by-step tutorial. And I'm gonna copy in, let's go back to my cheat sheet, this code here.
So our viewers can also download your version and they wouldn't have to do these
changes
themselves.
Yes, yep, so I've got start and finish for all these things so you don't necessarily have to do this. All right, so if I'm lucky, if I go ahead and run this, I should be able to click the load scores, and it might take a second to query the table, but if I'm lucky, it'll come back and populate that high score table with high scores. Yeah, whew.
All right.
I got nervous
Corey
for a second, so a couple seconds. And now, so there's our list. If I update, so if James Q gets another high score of 110, because I'm that awesome, I should be able to submit, and then it goes out and reloads the score. So there's the updated scores every time I submit.
All right, so the initial pull took a few seconds, and then the second pull was a
little gets a little quicker, right. Oh, that made me kind of nervous, because it always takes a few seconds before it comes back. So yeah, those are the changes that you have to make. And I know that was kind of fast. It seemed really tricky. Those are the changes you're going to make with a universal app using that plugin. Again, the tutorials will be there. The sample projects will be there. That will help. But the alternate, let's see.
And if anything's moving too fast, always feel free to wait for the recorded version of this broadcast later at a later date. You'll be able to download the videos, watch it again and again, and pause and replay.
Exactly. Yeah, like I said, that part is just tricky. It takes a little while.
Yep.
But that's why we want to make sure that we have all the content for you to be able to use and follow along outside of just following along live.
Right.
So now let's take a look at the REST API. Again, we're going to manually create request URIs, manually parse JSON responses. It will work on any platform, and thankfully, there's no changes in Visual Studio to be made. So I think just straight to the demo, we'll pop over back to Construct 2, and let me close out the files I've got up. And now let me open the AMS REST API layout. So notice it says REST API, and there's a REST API event sheet, and then a REST API helper sheet as well. So this is a lot of good stuff in here. I'm basically doing similar stuff, except I have to manually create those requests and post strings that were created for us with the Azure for Windows 8 plugin.
Right.
So again, here's a query table, a submit record function, on submit record completed, on query table completed. We know what those are, we've seen those. The trick is actually creating this URL that we're gonna go out and query and or post. So I've got a bunch of different global variables here. The total scores we want to get back is 10. The app URL for the mobile service, again, that's the same thing you would have filled out in the plugin. So that's the same thing here. The app key, same thing you would have filled out here. And then I want to specify, this is made specifically for a leaderboard. So I'm specifying here, what's the name of the column that holds the score? You could call it whatever you want in right. Azure. Just make sure you fill it in correctly. So I called it score. And then the user column name, you could call it user in Azure, you could call it name, you could call it whatever you want. Fill that in here. Mine is just simple, it's name and score. The when you use the Azure Mobile Service REST API, you have to manually add a request header for the application key. So this is a little tricky, because that's something that with this property they took care of for you. So to set a request header, you can use the AJAX object, and you can just set request header. You want to set the request header too, and I've got a global variable for it, the app key request header, and then I'm giving it the value of the app key. And then after I have that, then I want to go out and make the request, and I've got in here the code to do the, the order by. I want to order by score, I want to get descending, and then I want to get the top total scores, which is 10. So I want to get the top 10 scores ranked, ordered by score in descending order.
And you can filter your query just by modifying that URL.
Right. And all of this, if you pull down the sample project, all you have to really change are these global variables. So I've tried to, this seems really tedious, but you should be able to take advantage of just copying and pasting my code into your project and not have to worry about this.
Right.
Submit record is the same thing. Essentially, you're setting the request header here, and then you're actually sending. So you have a tag here for the callback function. The URL is going to be the URL that you specified up here, and then the table name. And then the data here is what I want to send. So I'm sending in the, I'm saying user column name, which is name, that's a variable, name equals the first parameter, and score equals the second one, and then I'm posting. So all you would need to do is come over and yours, see, notice this side is much cleaner. All you need to do is to load scores, is to call my function that I created.
Right.
And add, or excuse me, query table, so that's just a call. And then the post will have, so for submitting record, you just add the two parameters. So that, think about all the terrible, boring stuff is taken care of for you, and you just have to do these two couple of things, and then you have to display your scores. So that's what you have to do, and what I have to do is all of this boring stuff that you can just leverage and use.
And it's good to note that on the other event sheet, the smaller one, you have it included at the very top,
yes,
which lets you include the larger, more complex.
Exactly. So yeah, you can copy my code over into a helper as well, and then just use this include to then call my methods, my functions.
Yep.
Exactly. And the last kind of tedious thing I had to do was parse scores to an array. The plugin does that for you, so that's one of the benefits. Mm-hmm. Here, I spent a long time figuring out how to parse because the parsing is kind of limited, so I had to get pretty creative in how I parse, but I eventually got them to actually work with the array that I have. So, should we take a look at, see if this works? Hopefully it does.
All right.
Go ahead and run this, and again, I can run this in the browser. I'm saying I've got one active, so I can run this in the browser because it's platform agnostic. I can test it immediately in the browser without having to export. It'll work on any platform. So let's do a load scores, querying table. That was pretty fast.
All right.
There's our scores. Now Shahed and I have been going back and forth all day, and he finally got to 111.
Beat you by 1 point right there.
So if I submit the score, notice it refreshes. The same functionality, exact same thing as what we had before, but I can't leave that the way it is. I've got to come out on top since it's my demo.
And it's not just displaying it on the screen, it's actually sending it to the cloud and bringing it right back.
Exactly, yeah. So every time I send something, when it finishes sending, then I go out and re-query the table to get back the updated scores. So I'm not cheating and just adding it in.
Right.
I'm actually sending it, going out and re-getting it, and then pulling it back and re-displaying it.
Exactly. All right.
So yeah, that was a lot. Hopefully you get a sense of what the two different options are for doing global leaderboards with Azure. You get a sense of the pros and cons, and you get a sense of how to take advantage of all the time that I spent doing the tough stuff, that it's easier for you.
Yeah, so right? James has done the work for you, made it a little easier for
yes. you. So if you didn't follow along all the individual steps that I worked through, that's probably a good thing. You can just go out and take my stuff and include it into your project.
Yep.
So that was the goal. And again, all the documentation and blog posts and videos and stuff will be there. But like I said, I was really excited. This is a kind of a big thing for me to add. So that's going to wrap it up for module two. And then we're going to take another 10-minute break and we'll be back for module three.
Exactly. We'll be back in module three and we'll talk about some networking.
Awesome.